Genesis chapter 18. Good to see Miss Debbie back from Puerto Rico. Amen. Good to have her back. And her husband go 6 months into Puerto Rico in the winter, and they come back to Delaware for 6 months in the summer. And what a blessing that is. Amen. What a blessing. Amen. And she's just always good to see Miss Debbie come in. All right, Genesis chapter 18. I want to ask you a question this morning. In the Old Testament, who you think would be the greatest men in the Old Testament? Who would come? Give me some response here. Who would be the greatest man? Yeah. Joseph is a great man in the Old Testament. Yep. Abraham. Who else? David. Who else? Moses. I mean, the Bible talks about, yeah, brother. Who else? Who?
Noah.
There you go. I mean, listen, yeah, brother. Who else? Enoch. Yeah, walked with God and was not. Yeah, brother. Solomon. Yeah, who else? Melchizedek. And Elijah. Daniel. Elisha. I mean, man, there's a lot of great men. Yes, sir. Uriah the Hittite. Yes, sir, he was a great man. David had him killed. And there's some great men in it. Yeah, son. Samuel, there you go. Who else? Joshua. Who else? Isaac. Joab. Jabesh. Who else? Who else?
Jeremiah.
Elijah. Yeah. Job. Man, there's a lot of great men in the Old Testament. A lot of great men we read about and we study about. But who do you think would be the worst Old Testament saint?
Lot.
Samson. Who else? Who?
Adam,
that dirty rotten dog. Adam sold us down the drain. Who?
Cain.
Who else would be worse? Somebody say Eve. Absalom. Absalom's a Jonadab. Jezebel. Nebuchadnezzar. Who else? Who? Jeroboam.
Esau.
There's some bad Old Testament saints. There's one guy, or there's a couple guys in the Old Testament, and there's one guy that reminds me and is a type of a New Testament Christian. And he's in chapter 17, 18. I mean, actually go back to chapter 12 of Genesis. And he goes right through to chapter 19 and even further. He's a bad example of a New Testament Christian. Bad example. And this guy, I mean, folks, he's got some bad characteristics about him. And take your Bible, look at chapter 18, but talking about Abraham here. It says, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre as he sat in the tent's door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent's door and bowed himself towards the ground and said, my Lord, if now I have found grace in thy favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let me let a little water, I pray you, be fetch and wash your feet and rest yourself under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts that ye shall pass on. For therefore ye are come to your servant. And they said, do so do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened unto the tents of into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine wheat, knead it and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched the flock or fetched the calf tender and good and gave it unto the young men, and he hastened to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. I would say this whole process took about 2 hours. And the Lord came by, two men with him, angels came with him, and came by, and he walked by, and Abraham saw him, he ran out to meet him. And you only find in your Bible, you only find the Lord showing up to people a couple times, only a few times. He showed up to Joshua. He showed up to Moses. He showed up to Daniel. He walked in the fire with the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But to sit down and talk with him, with the Lord, and with two angels as bodyguards, that had to be something. And Abraham said, he said, he come by to tell me something. And the Lord thought that much of Abraham as he was heading one way that he was going to come by and talk to him. Abraham in the Bible is called a friend of God. I mean, this guy, when Genesis chapter 12, God tells him, he said, get up and leave your land of your nativity. He said, leave it. And he said, and wherever you go, he said, I'll direct you. And he said, wherever your foot touches the ground is going to be yours. And the Bible says he took a guy named Lot, which is his nephew. Why? His brother had died, and he took in Lot. And also he took his father with him. And the Lord wanted him to separate from his land of his nativity, and he wanted to separate them because of the heathen worship and all that other stuff that was going on. And he wanted to make a great nation out of Abraham. So then you find all the way through there, God blessing Abraham, God speaking to Abraham, and goes on, look on down, chapter 18, verse 9. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were very old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh? And saying, shall I of a surety bear a child, which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou did laugh. And the men rose up from hence and looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. So Abraham's walking out with them. And they get up after they finish eating. I mean, probably a two-hour visit. Took him that long to go kill the calf and then dress it and cook it and have all the stuff ready and then sit it down, and they ate and had conversation. Wow. I'm thinking the Lord took time to come by to see Abraham. And Abraham thinking, that's the only thing the Lord come by to tell me is that my wife's going to have a child. Abraham's 100 years old, and his wife's 90, and she's going to have a child. That's why she laughed. She said, man. And then the Lord said, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything too hard? And Abraham is a great man. When you think about in the Bible, some of the great men of the Bible, Abraham is one of the greatest. Moses is second to him, and then goes on down the line. But these men were great men. They always refer back to Abraham, and they refer back to Moses. And Abraham was a great man. God and the Lord come by to spend time with him. And this is around 1896, 1898 AD, or BC, I'm sorry. And 2,000 years before Jesus Christ was even born. 2,000 years. So God comes by and spends time with Abraham, and he tells him that he's going to have a child, and a promised child. And then look on down, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? God says to the angels, shall I hide this from him, what I'm about ready to do? And Abraham said, what are you going to do, Lord? I mean, what are you going to do? And he says, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. And the Bible says right there, all nations are going to be blessed because of Abraham. So Abraham's, what his child, and through his seed, all the nations of the world were going to be blessed. And we are blessed because of Abraham. We all blessed. Now, you and I that are saved, we're of the seed of Abraham, spiritually speaking. We're Abraham's seed, spiritually speaking. Because Abraham didn't have the Ten Commandments. He didn't have the law. He believed God by faith. And the Lord said, Abraham, you see the stars up in heaven? He said, I'm going to make your seed like that. See the sand of the sea? I'm going to make your seed like that. Abraham said, I believe you, Lord. And you know, in chapter 22, after Abraham's told he's going to have a child, and his son becomes a teenager, God says, take him up to Mount Moriah and sacrifice him there. And Abraham believed God, and we read the story in chapter 22, where Abraham believed that God was going to raise his son from the dead, even though he was told to go ahead and sacrifice him. And God, he believed God that much. He believed God was going to resurrect him. Abraham had faith. I mean, Abraham had, you know what? He didn't have the word of God as complete like you and I have. He didn't have all that. But he believed God and had faith in God. And God spent time with Abraham, and God said, shall I hide this from him? I mean, wouldn't that be something if God came by your house and was going to tell you what's going to happen with your children? Or I've got a nephew down in Virginia. He was raised in this church. And I mean, if the Lord, I intercede for him. I pray for him all the time. I pray for all the kids. I pray for all the men, young ladies and men that come out of this church. And if I remember who they are, I try to pray for them. I run into them. I pray for them. I try to pray and intercede. And the Bible tells us as Christians, we're supposed to pray for each other. We're supposed to make supplication, intercession for each other and praying for the needs and praying for your children, praying for your grandkids, praying for your church members, praying for their children. God protect them. I mean, we're supposed to do that. As Christians, we're supposed to intercede on behalf of others. I intercede and pray for my nephew all the time. I pray for my daughters. I pray for my son-in-laws. I pray for my grandchildren. I pray God protect them. And, you know, I pray God that, you know, that the Lord would keep them and give them a tender heart, that they would love God. And now I want to be a good example in front of them. I want them to see me praying. I want them to see me weeping over people. I want them to see that, and I don't want it to be fake. I want it to be legit. I want it to be real. And I'll tell you what, like I said before, I can't stand a fake. I want to be real as a Christian. I mean, and if Christian sitting in here this morning, you ought to want to be a real Christian. You shouldn't want to be a fake Christian that put on a show. Abraham was the kind of guy that God respected. God looked at Abraham and said, this guy loves me. I mean, he's going to do what's right no matter what. I believe Abraham's going to do what's right. Even though Abraham made some blunders in his life, he went down to Egypt, and he was down there, and he told his wife, he said, tell him that you're not my wife. Tell him you're my sister. And it almost got him in trouble. And the Bible says God plagued the house of Pharaoh because of that. And but Abraham, and when he took Lot with him down to Egypt, now more likely Lot got his wife down in Egypt. In the Bible, Egypt is a type of what?
The world.
The world. God never told Abraham. Abraham never prayed about going down to Egypt. He says there was a famine in the land, so Abraham goes to Egypt. And God never told him to go down there, and he made a mistake by going down there, by not praying, asking God to show him. And he goes down there, and probably that's where Lot ended up getting his wife. And he ends up marrying a woman, and we're going to go back to that in a minute. But I want you to see where Abraham intercedes for his nephew. And reason why, because he knew his nephew. He knew where his nephew was. His nephew, God never talked to his nephew. And there's no recording in the Bible that God ever talked to him. He talked to Abraham. He told Abraham in chapter 12, I want you to move out. And then the Bible says, go back to chapter 13. And you're going to see the downward spiral of Lot. And Lot is a type of a New Testament 21st century Christian. I mean, everybody sitting in this room, we have Lot as well inside of us. We all have Lot. We have Abraham as our example, our spiritual example. But we all have Lot that lives inside of us as well. Lot wants his way. Lot wants to do his own thing. He looked at Abraham like, you're crazy. Abraham, my uncle, he's God about it. God's first and everything, and he believes in God. But he did slip up. He did slip up. He went down to Egypt, and I saw him slip up. I watched him. They always say, what you do in moderation, your children do in excess. What you allow the children to go further than that. Now, the Bible says that in chapter 13, Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abraham was very rich in cattle and silver and gold. And he went on his journey from the south, even to Bethel, onto a place where his tent had been in the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, and onto a place of the altar. Abraham goes back, he leaves Egypt, and goes back to the place where he had built the altar. And he goes back up there, and why? He goes back to get right with God. And the Bible says this. It says, unto a place of the altar, which he had made there at the first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with him, had flocks. It doesn't say Lot went and prayed, and Lot went and built an altar. It doesn't say nothing good about Lot. But Abraham goes back. It says he was rich. Lot was also rich. Every time Lot was around his uncle, he prospered. long as he was with Abraham, he prospered. But he didn't have the heart that Abraham had. He didn't have a heart for God. We're living in a day and age where Christians don't have a heart for God anymore. We don't have a heart to serve God. I mean, we got Lot inside of us. We look at Christians that sold out, and on fiber God said, I ain't going that way, man. They're crazy. I mean, that's too much. And Lot says, I know what I'm doing. I've got it under control. I know. I'm going to show the old man. Everybody's praising him all the time. Everybody's talking about Abraham. I'm going to show how much better I am than Abraham. I'm going to show that I know what I'm doing. And Lot ended up separating from Abraham. Abraham comes to him, and look what he says. And Lot also, which went with him, with Abraham, had flocks, herds, and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. Their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwelled then in the land. And Abraham said unto Lot, let there not be strife, no strife. He said, man, they're fighting. They're arguing. They're fighting about who's going to have the best land. And Lot, he was probably the instigator of the whole thing. He probably thought, let my cattle go first. I want to be first. I'm going to get what I want first. Let me first. Me first. Abraham's crowd, he can take care of his own. You me first. You know what I found? In the spiral of the downfall of Lot, there was strife around him. Every time Lot turned around, there was strife around him, always swirling. And Abraham said, man, I'm tired of this dealing with this boy. I've tried to show this boy. I tried to help this boy. I tried to show him what's right. And every time I turn around, there's always strife. There's always confusion going on. The Bible says God is not the author of confusion. You know what the 21st century Christians have? They have always strife around them, not because of their suffering for Jesus Christ. Is always because of something they're doing, making decisions, the wrong decisions. You find there was strife, there was this downward spiral in his life. And there was in verse 6 it says, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great. The Bible says it's a blessing for when brethren can dwell together in unity. And what happens is you get somebody with some strife that's going on, and there's no unity. And when with Lot in his life and his herdsmen, there was strife. And I believe with all my heart that Lot instigated that strife. Lot instigated it. And Lot was always looking towards whatever was good for him, not for what Uncle Abraham wanted us to do about serving God, building the altar. What a waste of time. That's the way Lot looked at it. What a waste of time of going to church. What a waste of time of reading your Bible. What a waste of time about serving God. What a waste, man. It's a waste of time. I'm going to show you, Abraham. I'll show you how we're going to live. I'll show you how everything's going to turn out right. It kind of sounds like the prodigal son that Jesus talked about. The prodigal son says, I'll show the old man. Give me what's mine, and I'm going to go down, and I'm going to have friends. I'm going to have people. They're going to bow down to me, and they're going to look to me, and they're going to think I'm the greatest person in the world. I'm sick and tired of hearing about Abraham. I'm sick and tired of it. So old Lot, he goes down, and the Bible says they separate. Lot has strife. He heads, look what the verse says. It says, and Abraham said unto Lot, verse 8, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee. That's how you know there was fighting going on between them. Abraham said, I don't want the strife between us. Why? Because Lot took his side. Instead of saying, Abraham, my uncle, everything I have is because of you and be God. And because of God. I don't want no strife. You just have, I mean, you take care of, you just have your, you know, let your flocks go first. Let all that stuff go first. I mean, I don't want no strife. And the Bible says this. Abraham says, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. If not, is not the whole land before thee? And he says, separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. And if thou will not, thou will take the left hand, I will go to the right. If thou will depart to the right hand, I will go to the left. Abraham says, Lot, you choose. Whichever way you go, I'll go the opposite. You just make the choice. And the Bible says, Lot always had his eyes in a far country. Lot was always looking towards what it was going to gain him. You know what the Bible says the Christians ought to be doing? We ought to be looking at things of others, how we can help other people. You know what the real meaning of joy is? Jesus said joy, talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Joy is Jesus first, others second, you last.
That's right.
The way Christians do it, you can take self and put a H at the end, turn the thing around and put an H on it, it's flesh. You can take, and most Christians in the 21st century is all about self. Me first, me first, me first. And that's what they do. And Lot, like I said, Lot is in the 21st century right now. He's alive and well in the 21st century. Lot ends up looking towards the plains. Look what the Bible says in verse 10. It says, he looks down, and Lot lifted up his eyes, and behold, all the plains of Jordan. It was well watered everywhere. Behold, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like on the land of Egypt, as thou comest on Zoar. Now the Bible says the land of Egypt was, man, it was well watered. I mean, they had green grass. They had all that. You look at Egypt today, all you see is brown. Rocks. You see desert. It says like the land of Egypt. So 2,000 years before Jesus Christ was born, Egypt was flourishing. I mean, man, the plains were flourishing. I was watching a thing about herdsmen in Israel. Now, the lambs and the goats and all that go out. They only have a little blade of grass that comes up between a rock somewhere. And that's all they have in parts of out in the desert area. It's just desolate. Desert being desolate. And the Bible says, look at it in verse 12. Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent towards where? Look at the next verse. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Lot's spiral is that he started looking at what he could gain. And here he was already rich. He was rich as being with Abraham. He was rich and had all this stuff, and he was with Abraham. So Lot says, man, I tell you what, I'll take Jordan. I'll take that area. I'll go over that way. And the Bible says he started pitching his tent. And every day he came out, he looked down towards Sodom. He started looking down there saying, man, I'll tell you what, they're having parties down there. Now, Abraham had servants, the Bible says. He had 318 servants born in his house. Man, that's a lot of people. I mean, and Lot, if he had 200 or more, you're talking about 500-600 people out in the middle of the desert. And they separated. And Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. And man, he started getting closer and closer. He decided, I'm going to go down there. I'm going to show that old man. I'm going to show Abraham. He's not the only one that can be prosperous. I didn't need him to get what I got. I'm pretty smart. I know what I'm doing. I've seen Christians say that. I know what I'm doing, preacher. Let's get out of my way. Shut up. I mean, I don't hear all this stuff about the Bible, about the way to live. I don't need to hear all that stuff. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to go and show you where things are going to happen. And the Bible says the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Bible says in verse 14, and the Lord said unto Abraham after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes. See, God, as soon as God said, separate from Lot. And the Lord said, that it'd be fine. He said, as soon as Lot was gone, God shows up and says, I'll tell you what, look around. Wherever you go, I'm going to give it to you. Everywhere you go, I'm going to give it to you. Now look what the Bible says. And the Lord said on Abram, Asa, after Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes. Look from the place that thou art northward, southward, eastward, westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, as so that a man can not number the dust of the earth. Then shall thy seed also be numbered. I'll rise, walk through the land, in the length of it, in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. And Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron. And look what he says, and built there an altar unto the Lord. First thing he does, he starts worshiping God. He comes out of Egypt. He built an altar before he was in Bethel. He builds an altar and goes down to Egypt and comes back and goes back to the altar and prays and says, God, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have went down there. I shouldn't have done that. That was wrong. And then Lot ends up picking up a wife. He gets a wife. He has children. But you know what, Lot? You know what Lot was more concerned? Lot was more concerned about his flocks and his money than he was raising his kids. So how do you know that? Because his kids, when trouble came, they didn't believe him. They didn't trust him. They said, "You're a liar. You're a liar." Man, what a sad state. Look in chapter 17. Look in chapter 17. Or actually, chapter 19. Look at chapter 19. Lot's downward spiral. He starts going down, strife. He heads his tent towards Sodom. He ends up choosing to be there. Why? He wanted to be somebody. He didn't want to trust God. You know, Abraham's always referred back to one of the greatest in the Old Testament. Now, Lot is always referred to, like my brother said, he said, Lot is one of the worst. And Abraham put God first. Lot put himself first. Lot wanted what he wanted and did what he wanted. That's the type of New Testament Christian. New Testament Christian today is the Laodicean period. Our hearts get cold towards God. God never speaks to us. You reading your Bible, God never speaks to your heart. God never taps you on the shoulder and says, "I want you to tell that person about Jesus." Why? Because God knows he can't trust you to do it. Number one, you ain't seeking him. He said, "They that seek me shall," what? "Find me." If you're seeking the Lord, he'll show up. But God wants you to seek him. Abraham started seeking him. Abraham built an altar, and he got down on the altar. And Abraham believed God so much in chapter 22, he said, "I'm going to build the altar. Here's the wood. Here's the fire." He said, "But I know my God is going to provide a lamb." He believed God. All the things that we go after, the money, the prestige, all the power, all that stuff we go after, man, it just ends up ruining like Lot. Abraham didn't go after that stuff. God just blessed him and blessed him and blessed him. Why? His heart wasn't for it. He thanked God for it, but his heart wasn't there to take it, always taking it. Look in chapter 18 or 19. It says, "And there came two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat in the gate." Now Lot's sitting at the gate. He wanted to be a big shot. He wanted to show his uncle. He said, "Man, my uncle could see me now." Here he is sitting at the gate of Sodom and Gomorrah. I wouldn't brag about that too much, brother. Here you are sitting in with a bunch of sodomites. They're called homosexuals, lesbians. He's sitting there with all these folks, and he's thinking, "Oh, if Uncle Abraham could see me now, I am somebody. Look at me. I'm sitting in the gate. I'm one of the elders. I'm somebody." He would have been somebody if he would have sought the Lord. You never find Lot praying. Even when the angels show up, you never found Lot praying. Look what the Bible says, chapter 19. "And there came two angels in Sodom at evening, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face onto the ground. And he said, 'Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray thee, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your ways.' And they said, 'Nay, but we will abide in the streets all night.' And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him." They were new people coming into town. And Lot was afraid for them to be out on the street. He said, "Man, you ain't gonna want to be out on the street." And the Bible says, "And they said, 'Nay, but we will abide in the street all night.' And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and he entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and did eat." Said, did Lot know they were angels? Nope. He didn't know they were angels yet. And the Bible says, "And before they lay down, the men of the city, even men of Sodom, compassed the house around, and both old and young, and all the people from every quarter. And they called on the Lot, and said unto him, 'Where are the men which came in unto thee this night? Bring them on out to us, that we may know them.' And Lot went out at the door onto them, and shut the door after him, and said, 'I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters.'" I don't understand this. Folks, this is boggles my mind. I mean, if I would have went out there, I would have said, "Man, we've been doing some fighting. You ain't going to come in my house. You ain't going to do that. I would have had me a sword or something." But he says, "I got two daughters. Take them. Sacrifice your children. People do it all the time. They sacrifice their children to the world. But they care about their flocks. They want to watch over the flocks and their money and their gold and all the things. And I want to sit at the gate. I want to be somebody. I want to be important. Take my kids.
Yeah.
Amen. Come on.
Amen.
Sacrifice your children for them. God have mercy. I see it over and over again, even in this church.
Yeah.
Going after the money. Going after the prestige. Going after the power. Going after a name. And sacrifice the kids. Well, I want to make sure my flock's all right. I want to make sure my money's good. But go ahead and have the kids. I can't comprehend that. He says, here, take my two daughters. Can you imagine what his daughters thought? Bible says this. It says, he says, now I have two daughters which have not known a man. They're virgins. Let me, I pray thee, pray you, bring them unto thee. And do ye unto them as good in your eyes. Only on these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow, they came out. Here's the guys that he thought they were friends. He thought these people loved him. You know, that's the way it is in the world. You think you got friends in the world. You think your friends give you advice. You think they care about you. When somebody does care about you, you get mad at them. When somebody tries to help you, watch over your children, watch over your family, you get mad. Who do they think they are telling me what to do? Who do they think they are trying to watch over my kids? Usually it's always the opposite. Lot was willing to sacrifice his family, as long as he could keep his flocks, as long as he could keep his power, as long as he could keep what he gained there. I'm going to prove to Abraham. I'm best as good as he is. We're living in that day. We're living in the day and age. Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom, and before long, he was there. Let me tell you something, Christian. You start pitching your tent towards Sodom. Every one of us has got that Lot in us. We all do. We all have to, man, been down to Egypt? God, forgive me. God, get the thing right. Go back to the altar. God, I'm sorry. Lot, not one time, ever you read your Bible, ever came to an altar. Not one time did he ever build an altar. And these guys that he thought they were his friends, the ones that he sat in the gate, the ones he thought they would listen to him. You know what Abraham had to do? If you read back in your Bible in chapter 14, Abraham had to go deliver Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah and all the kings that were with him. And he had to fight other kingdoms, five other kings. He fought with his servants and won. He won. And the king of Sodom told him, said, take all the goods, take everything, that you, the spoils, take everything, but just give us back our wives and our children. And Abraham said, I'm not going to take nothing from you. He said, only what the young man's eating, we're not going to take a shoe latch from you. He said, I've did it for my nephew. You know, Abraham, man, had to intercede. He prayed, and he protected Lot. And Lot never learned. Never learned. Lot ends up with his wife. And his children, I can't read all the story. But Lot ends up with his wife and his kids. And when the angel said, they drug him back in the house. Look at the rest of the chapter here. It says they drug him back in the house. And they blinded the men. And the Bible says, they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came to sojourn. And he needs to be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. And the men put forth their hands and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou not any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. So we will destroy this place because the cry of them has waxen great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his son-in-laws, which married his daughters. So how many daughters did he have? And said, up, get you out of this place, and the Lord will destroy this city. But it seemed as one that mocketh unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning rose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of this city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold. They had to grab him. They had to yank him. Something's going on with this thing. They had to yank him out of the city. And they had to tell his daughters and his wife, she didn't want to leave all the things, her pampered chef and all the things behind. She turned around and Lot, the angel said, don't look at the city when God brings judgment down. Don't look at it. She was of the world. She looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. How did Lot end up? He come out on top. You read on. Lot ends up in a cave. Or he goes to Zoar. Zoar wasn't destroyed. But they were afraid to stay there because there wasn't much men there that was going to give his daughters a husbands. God didn't destroy Zoar. And they said, well, we're afraid to be here. Isn't that something? They were afraid to be in Zoar, but they weren't afraid to be in Sodom and Gomorrah. They said, we're afraid to be here. Maybe God's going to burn this place too. So they end up going to a cave. And those girls got their daddy drunk. The downward spiral. So it tells me that Lot didn't have no problem drinking. He had no problem with that. So they start giving him more drinks. And he started getting more drinks. And Lot ends up getting drunk, and the daughters end up laying with him. And he has incest with his daughters. And both of those daughters end up pregnant. And they have children. One of them is called Moab. They became enemies. And we was talking about Ruth last week. Ruth was from Moab. And in Moab, they worshiped a god called Moloch that had big hands, and it was like a Buddha sitting there. And they would take their babies and throw their babies into the fire of the belly of Moloch to appease their sin. Lot had no spiritual bone in his body. All Lot could see was the here and now. All Lot was concerned about was his flocks. Guess what? They all burned up in the fire. All his gold, all his silver. Look what the Bible says. Bible says in verse 23, the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered in Zoar, and the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone, fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plains and the inhabitants of the cities that which grew upon the ground. And his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Abram got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah, towards all the land of plain. Behold, lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And the Bible says in verse 30, Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar. And he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old. There is not a man in the earth to come unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him and may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night. And the firstborn went in and laid with their father. And he perceived not when she laid down or when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, behold, I laid yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also. And the younger rose and laid with him, and he perceived not when she had laid down, nor when she arose. And thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bare a son, called his name Moab, and the same is the father of Moabites unto this day. The younger also bare a son, and called his name Benjamin, and the same is the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. Both of those children grew up to hate Abraham's seed, and they had war with him. The downward spiral of Lot is he was always choosing what was good for him, only for him. He was willing to sacrifice whatever it took for him to gain. Abraham was always interceding, always delivering Lot. You know what? You don't read about Lot unless it's a negative. Over in the book of Hebrews, it talks about Lot being one of the righteous man that was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. I don't know about that. I mean, the Bible says it. But man, if I had to judge Lot, if you had to judge Lot, you'd say that guy was a lost, sorry, low-down, dirty dog. And here he was, sacrificed his children to get what he wanted. And he lost what he had. If there ever was a guy in the Bible that was like a New Testament Christian, it was Lot. We all have Lot inside of us. But I tell you what, Lot needs to die. That's the old man. The old man, we was talking about that in Sunday school, Romans chapter 7. The old man has got to die. Because Paul said, in me, that is in my flesh, dwell no good thing. Lot is the old man. And Lot will want to do his thing. Lot wants his way. Lot wants more flocks. He wants more of this and more of that. Always wanting more, 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 more. And doesn't build an altar. Doesn't pray. Doesn't seek God. You're sitting here this morning. You're either in Abraham's spot or you're sitting in Lot's spot. You said, well, didn't you say we all have Lot in us? Yeah, but Lot doesn't have the preeminence if you're trying to serve God. Abraham has the preeminence. You know what happens about Abraham? You read the rest of your Bible, you always read about Abraham being a man of faith. Abraham being a man that was a friend of God. And when the Lord wanted to do something, he came by and he talked to Abraham. When's the last time God spoke to your heart? When's the last time you were reading your Bible and God spoke to you about something? When's the last time that God wanted you to do something? I know he wants us all to do something. When's the last time you surrendered to do whatever God wants you to do? What Lot was more concerned about was, what's in it for me? What can I gain? What is it? And Lot lost everything he had. When he was disassociated with Abraham, he lost it all. Abraham was interceding. If you read chapter 18, Abraham got down, folks, he negotiated with God over Lot. He said, Lord, will you destroy Sodom and Gomorrah for 50 righteous? Read it, chapter 18. He said, will you destroy Sodom and Gomorrah for 50 righteous? And the Lord said, no, I won't destroy for 50. And Abraham thought about it, and he said, maybe Lot didn't hit the 50 mark. I mean, I know my nephew, I know he wasn't always serving God or anything, but maybe, Lord, will you not destroy the place for 40, right? And the Lord said, Abraham, I won't destroy for 40. Abraham walked along a little bit and said, Lord, he's calculating in his mind. He said, Lot's got daughters, got son-in-law, his wife. I mean, man, he's got to be talking to somebody else, being a good testimony. He sits in the gate. He should have some friends that he influenced. Do you have anybody you influence in a good way? So he says, how about 30, Lord? And the Lord says, I won't destroy for 30. Abraham said, Lord, I've been presumptuous. Please don't get mad at me. He said, well, you won't destroy for 20, will you? And the Lord said, Abraham, I won't destroy for 20. Man, he got going on thinking about Lot. He said, you know, Lot, I can't even trust Lot. I can't even believe that Lot would do. Lord, please don't get mad at me. You won't destroy for 10, will you? The Lord said, I won't destroy for 10. He was satisfied with 10. Two daughters, single. Two daughters married. Son-in-laws, wife. He's had to pick up two others somewhere. He had a Bible study or something there. Didn't Lot have a Bible study? Didn't he have a time where he built an altar? Yeah, I'm satisfied with 10. Lot, I know Lot. He was going to do it. The Lord said, I won't destroy for 10. Is your family counting on you? That you would pray and intercede and you'd have at least 10? I remember a preacher said this years ago. He said, woe unto America when America gets below the percentage of Sodom and Gomorrah. Say, if there was 100,000 in Sodom and Gomorrah, in the cities round about, 10, he says, 10, that's 1%. Is that right? 1%? He said, at least 1%. He said, watch out when America gets below that. Christians, you're the hope of this world. What you have in your Bible, you're saved. What you got is the hope of this world. Amen. We were talking about this morning, Brother Eric talking about witnessing people and seeing people saved, trying to get people to church, trying to get people. Man, are you doing your part? Are you more worried about sitting at the gate being come somebody? I'm going to tell you something. You put God first. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6. All the things that you want, God says, I'll provide it for you. You put me first, I'll take care of the rest. You know what Abraham did? God was first. Lot, me first. Forget Abraham. Forget all that Christian craziness. Forget all that stuff. I'm going to serve myself. I'm my own God. Far as we know, Lot ends up in a cave dead with his children, with enemies of God. If we're ever living in a day of Lot's religion right now, God help us. I made up my mind a long time ago. I'm going to put the Lord first. My flesh wants its own way. My flesh wants to do what it wants to do. But I got to let God control me. The thing's going crazy. Talking about Lot, the thing's going crazy. Where are you sitting at this morning? Where are you sitting at? Father, thank you, God, for your mercy. Oh, my Father, help Faith Baptist Church.